There is nothing else to say this morning except He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Good morning, church. Happy Easter. It is so good to see you this morning. A special welcome if you're visiting. It's good to have you with us. I wish we could have our, this especially today, I wish we could have our fellowship after service today. But it won't be long. It really won't be long. Happy Easter. You know, that's, give you a little quick history lesson. Easter was first celebrated in about 150, give or take. And you remember that that would be about, 100 years after the first church was started to be established. It was not called Easter. Does anybody but Sarah know what it was called? Sarah, do you know what it was called? Yes! 7 years it has taken the stumper. It was called Pascha. Pascha. And it was called Pascha because it was after the Hebrew Passover, the word for Passover. And so it's, in fact, many of the churches today still use the word Pascha when they're talking about Easter. It really wasn't called Easter until much later. And there's one of the saints, Saint Bede the Venerable. I'm going to be Wayne the Venerable from now on. I like the sound of that. But Saint Bede the Venerable, and of course he only lived to 61, which was old back in the 7th century in England. He first called it Easter because it was usually in April. And that was a month that at that point was known by the pagan goddess Esther, who was a goddess of the springtime. And so when we get real picky that we are the Christians are the only ones around, we are part of a huge family of faith worldwide that understands God in different ways, but still understands that God represents love and God represents eternity. So the next time you wish someone happy Easter, you can say happy Pascha. It's good to see you all here today. Let's be in worship together. Let's stand and sing a song of praise.
you, Randy and Richard. Please join me in the responsive call to worship and the prayer of invocation. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good.
God's steadfast love endures forever.
The Lord is our strength and our might.
The Lord has become our salvation.
The stone which the builders rejected
has become the chief cornerstone.
Alleluia. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Simply cannot let this pass. Kids, come on down. And we will try to behave ourselves. All right. Come on, Elise. I'm so glad. Oh man, it is so good to see you guys. Have y'all gone? Come on down, sweetie. Yeah, Dad can sit with you. All right. Okay. Oh, it doesn't get any better than this, does it? Have y'all been to an event? Either yet or you're going to an event where there are eggs kind of around and there might be a bunny or a rabbit or something. What is that called? An Easter, yeah, an egg hunt. Have y'all been to one of those? A big bunny gave you a present? You did? Oh, rainbow, yeah. How cool is that? Well, you know, we talk about when it's Christmas time. We talk about you and Elise are going to get along just fine. When it's Christmas time, you know, we talk about Jesus being born, and then we've talked about somebody coming on Christmas Eve and bringing presents. Who would that be? Okay, Santa Claus. So there's two different kinds of stories at Christmas, right? Pop Pop the Bunny. Yeah, well, that's Easter. Okay. Our religious event at Christmas is when we celebrate the birth of Jesus, right? And the fancy word is culture. The culture is just everything that goes on around us. The cultural event involves Santa Claus, reindeer, Rudolph, and all of that, right? So there's two different kinds of stories. In church, the story that we know is most important is the story of the birth of baby Jesus, right? Well, the same is true at Easter. At Easter, there are Easter bunnies and jelly beans and all of that. That is the culture, that big word that means it just happens. It's a part of our life in our community, our neighborhoods. But also, when we come here, what do we celebrate? I'll give you a hint. It's the words we started with. Oh yes. Okay, wait for it. What do we celebrate?
Jesus.
Isaac. Those of you who do not know the backstory, ever since Isaac was this size, he's been coming here, and that was his answer. No matter what I asked the kids, the answer was Jesus, and he knew it couldn't be wrong. It couldn't be a wrong answer. So how old are you now, Isaac? 11. Ever since I've been here, going on 7-8 years, Isaac's been given the same answer. So I'm proud of you, my man. Is there anyone you would like to pray for this day? Elise. Okay, Jesus, your brother has taught you well. We'll pray for Logan, too. And then we'll pray. I talked with one of our members, and she's not feeling well today. Her name is Megan. We'll pray for Megan, too, okay? So let's bow our heads, and we'll pray. Dear God, thank you for this day. We come to celebrate Jesus, who has brought us life. We thank you for our families, for our friends, for all these children. We thank you for Logan, and we thank you for Megan and all the kids who are on this planet, that they might be happy and healthy and grow up safe and strong. We pray these in the prayers of our deepest heart in the name of Isaac. Jesus. Amen. I'll see you guys. Yeah, I'm having fun. Oh, hey, Elise, how you doing, girl? Okay. Oh, good job. Be careful. This is a time in our church family when we gather in prayer, and I want to allow you the time to bring forth those of whom you are aware who need our prayers this day. Who do we need to hold in prayer?
The Luddy family.
Luddy family.
Jennifer Chilwick and Becky.
Becky and
Jennifer.
My sister Allie.
Sister Aileen.
Jordan.
Monica and Sam.
Jackie and Clay. Megan, Adam, and Peggy. And we want Tommy.
Caroline.
We also want to hold in our prayers the family of the Capitol Police who was killed this past week. We talked last week that we say the word so many times, thoughts and prayers, and we have to figure out a better way to live with each other. Anyone else? We want to hold in prayer our first responders, our women and men in uniform, all those whose job is to keep us healthy and help bring us back to health, and all of those throughout this world who are celebrating sisters and brothers of ours in Christ this day. May the Lord be with you. Let's go to God in silence and in prayer. Lord God, our Creator, our Benefactor, our Redeemer, our Friend, we come to You this morning grateful for the gift of life. On this day of all days, when we come to celebrate the eternal nature of life brought to us through Your Son, Jesus the Christ, the words out of our mouths must always be words of thanksgiving. O Lord, forgive us for those times when we have fallen short. We know that we have left the good deeds undone. We know that we have done the bad deed on occasion. Forgive us, allow us a sense of Your grace that will renew us and clean us and send us out again. We've lifted up to You in prayer those of whom we are aware, knowing You are the giver of every good and perfect gift. Allow them the gracious knowledge that they are being held in prayer this day. O Lord, we are grateful for this day when we can come and shout, Hallelujah, He is risen, He is risen indeed. And we give You all the thanksgiving for Christ's sake, who taught us to pray, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory.
As disciples, this table is central to everything we are and everything we do. Every faith thought that we have begins here. It is a place for both giving and receiving gifts. We bring our gifts to God and we We're not passing offering plates in usual ways. There are a couple of plates in the narthex, or you can give online. We bring our gifts and we receive gifts. And this gift has been shared by those of our sisters and brothers since the very beginning. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took the Passover, the Pascha, with those whom he loved so dearly. After the meal, he took the loaf. He broke it. He blessed it. He passed it among them, telling them to eat, that this was his body broken for them. In that same way, after the meal, he took the cup, Elijah's cup of community and welcome. After blessing it, he passed it among them, telling them to drink all of it. This was the cup of a new covenant, and that new covenant would be sealed with his sacrifice. We come after those first followers celebrating his words, "This do in remembrance of me." Oh God, bless this holy meal to our lives and our lives to your service. Amen.
Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one who Jesus loved, and said to them, They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Then Peter and the other disciples set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you had carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them what the things were that he had said to her.
And thanks, Randy. Oh, that was wonderful. When I started my career in band about 100 years ago, I planned on being a music major and being a band director. And my band director said I was a drummer, which probably easy for y'all to believe. Anyway, they said that you'll need to play everything if you're going to be a band director. So he put me on the French horn. I could never, ever get a sound to come out of it. The French horn ended my music career. I'm glad there are those of you, Randy, who can play it masterfully. Oh, what an agonizing and terrifying week the disciples had endured. Remember that week leading up to this. They had experienced all in a matter of 6 days the highest highs and the lowest lows that are possible for a human to experience. Do you remember that first triumphal entry that we celebrated last week? The crowd would have crowned him king on the spot. They shouted to him, "Hosanna, save us, we beseech you." He entered like a king. The excitement in the temple when Jesus confronted the money changers. We are told in one of the passages that he made a whip out of cords and chased them out. and then together with the disciples in the upper rooms, and he girded himself with a towel and knelt before them and would wash their feet, and Peter would have nothing to do with it. No. And Jesus chastised him. They didn't want to let him do that, but he did it anyway. Jesus had told them, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And then he told them, when they asked the way, "I am the way and the truth and the life." He took them into the garden while one of his own left to betray him. "Go, Judas, do quickly what you must." Then he was arrested and he was brought before the high priests. Oh, and by the way, Peter, Petros the rock, by this time had denied that he even knew him 3 times. They took him to Pilate, who wanted nothing to do with this whole sorry affair. He was trying to send him back to Herod or the chief priests. In fact, he even offered to free Jesus. And the crowd shouted, "Barabbas, give us Barabbas instead." And so they took Jesus and nailed him to a cross between 2 thieves. His last words were, "It is finished." Then he died. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb. Why did she come? Why did she come to the tomb? She came to minister to the body of Jesus after it was buried. If you read your Bible carefully, you will find that it is always the women who are the real heroes more often than not. I hate to have to admit that, but it is true. We need to learn that lesson. The stone had been rolled away when Mary got there. And she was horrified and she ran home to tell the others, "They have taken him and I don't know where he is." Her own experience would simply not let her believe the seemingly impossible. Her experience told her that death has the final word. Dead is dead. The others came and saw and went back home. Who was left? Mary. Mary was alone at the tomb in her grief. In her grief, the risen Christ came to her. Her grief was so overwhelming, and her experience would not accept this new reality. She supposed him to be the gardener or some other person. But then he said her name, Mary. You know, one of the deepest needs of humanity is the need to be recognized and accepted for who we are as worthwhile. In that one word, Mary, that he said, all of that meaning came to her in an instant. We can never make the changes necessary for living a fulfilled life until we can accept ourselves as lovable and beloved children of God. Jesus called her name Mary, and she answered, "Rabboni, teacher." And she rushed back to the disciples with those words, "I have seen the Lord." The very first religious lesson in the very first church was delivered by a woman, and that lesson was, He lives. A true religious experience came out of that first encounter of the risen Christ by those who would be the genesis, the beginning of the church of today. We are their spiritual inheritance, are we not? So what is our true religion? True religion, and remember, religion is not the kind of popular word. It, remember, literally tied to God. Ligare, that which ties us to God. True religion is extremely personal. It's extremely personal. But it must be shared. True religion is about a relationship. It's not about just believing the correct dogma. Did you know that in the United States, at last count, there were more than 350 Protestant denominations? I don't mean just different churches, denominations with all sorts of churches under them. Why do you suppose that is? Why can't everybody just come here and be part of the disciples of Christ? Because we have the answer. I don't understand it, do you? We've got it all figured out. I don't understand why they just won't come join us. So say our Baptist, our Methodist, our Lutheran, our Presbyterian, our Church of Daniel's Den, the Church of the Holy Frisbee. Their theology is when you die, your soul goes up on the roof and you can't get it down. It's not about believing a correct dogma, is it? It's about a relationship. True religion calls us to care for the other. Not just cloister ourselves in a safe sanctuary. We are literally to be the hands and feet of Jesus. That's what I tell them every... If I've told you this before, stop me. No, don't stop me. Every Wednesday, I go out there and you would not believe the level of work that our volunteers do to put that food pantry together. Some of y'all, a good many of y'all in here today are part of those volunteers. We have anywhere on a really low Wednesday, we'll have 20 to 25 volunteers. We have had as many as 45 to 50 volunteers out there working like crazy to feed people. I tell them, you are the hands and feet. I'll be the brains. That's exactly what they do. They laugh at me. Was that Doris back there? Yes, it was. She's one of those who laughs the loudest. But true religion calls us to do that. We are only here to get marching orders to go out to do that. True religion calls us to look at the eternal nature of life in every face we see, in every sunrise we experience, in every flower of spring, in every hummingbird. How many have hummingbirds back now? Oh, we do. And in every newborn babe. True religion calls us to look for the eternal in every moment in life. The eternal nature of life is not just the sweet by and by. It is eternal nature to each moment here. And when you can see that, you can live life with joy. True religion calls us to simply proclaim to the world, He is risen.
He is risen.
Hallelujah. Let's stand and sing a song of invitation. If you would not. It is our great joy to welcome Joe and Sandy Main into membership. They come by transfer. And Sandy, I want to take your hand representing the larger church family and ask you, do you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Son of God and your personal Savior? God bless you in that confession. And Joe, I'll ask you that same question. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and your personal Savior? May God bless you in that reaffirmation of your confession of faith. And I know this is going to be a place that they can live out their faith, because every Wednesday morning without fail, they are in the gym putting groceries together. Congregation. Reaffirming our own faith in Jesus the Christ, we gladly welcome you into this community of faith, enfolding you with our love and committing ourselves to your care. In the power of God's Spirit, let us mutually encourage each other to trust God and strengthen one another to serve others, that Christ's church may in all things stand faithful. I will ask Joe and Sandy, we've got to figure out some way to kind of do this with social distancing. So there are a lot of alcohol wipes back there if you feel a need to shake a hand. But right after the benediction, they will join me out there in the narthex. Now may the good Lord bless and keep each one of you. May the good Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the good Lord lift up her glorious countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.